First of all, my name is Brian Berger. I'm with Microsoft. Thank you for being here. The presentation is on Microsoft protocol specifications, and the title is What, Where, and Help. So this is basically the agenda. What are the protocol specifications? Where are they, and how to get help? And it sounds like a really basic kind of presentation. But in each of those aspects, things have kind of changed over time, particularly what we provide and where you would find them. So first we'll go through the what. Microsoft maintains a library of 860 technical documents. Primarily they focus around Windows and Office. There's also about 40 or so in SQL. There's also a couple in .NET Framework and IE, but primarily the bulk of them are in Windows and Office. Within the Windows family of documents, we maintain about 450 documents, and they're subdivided into sub-areas. The primary one for this audience would be file sharing. We also support Active Directory, Remote Desktop, Security Identity. And then there's a whole host of others, a whole scattering of others, like remote registry, and you just make a long list of a sundry protocols. Each area, kind of like file sharing, can be further subdivided. And so I'm going to do a quick, 10,000 meter down to 1 meter kind of view. You can imagine, the effort that maintaining all these documents take. There's actually a quite a large team and quite a big effort at Microsoft to keep these all published and produced and maintained.
A worthwhile effort.
What?
A worthwhile effort.
Yes. You're welcome, I guess. So the purpose of this slide is to hypnotize you, I guess. But I actually put together a pie chart that had every single document, and so you can see what a big effort it is. Again, 450 just Windows protocols. Who have thought? But looking just at the Windows protocols, let's kind of drill down into the layers a little bit. It's subdivided into groups as well, and the part in gold are the file sharing protocols, the ones that this audience is most interested in. This pie chart is not scaled to how much activity is in each protocol family, but rather how many documents are in each family. If I were to make a slide that represented how much case volume or how much interactions we have with partners, file sharing would be quite a bit larger. Our big families are the file sharing and remote desktop. We have PlugFest and Interop Labs around both of those, and lots of customer engagements around both of those. And then the others have varying degrees of interest, but the primary focus is always on the file sharing protocols. Within file sharing, we can narrow them down. Excuse me?
On the previous slide, what's networking? If you can go back. What's networking? What does that encompass? It's not file sharing.
You know,
what Albert was file sharing, so it must be something else in networking.
Yeah, I knew I was going to be asked that, and I actually looked to get the answer, and it escaped me. I think they're just a bunch of generic protocols.
Over TCP, low-level TCP connection?
Yeah, just So I should go back and say that all these are Microsoft standards. These are all Microsoft-created protocols. I will answer your question. I just don't have it at the top of mind.
Correct.
But we wouldn't own a document on the network time protocol we don't include RFCs.
If it's been tweaked by Microsoft, it would be.
Yes, we would have extensions. Like there's a TOS extension, MS-TOS. Yeah, RPCE. Yeah, RPCE. RPC might be in there. Yeah, I've got to find that. I actually did know I was going to get a question on that.
And again, these are open specs documents.
Right. And then file sharing can be subdivided even further. You have scan services and print services. But most of the family of documents that we're most interested in are usually in the file access services. And here's our favorite family of documents. You've got FSA there, File System Control Set, our favorite SIFs, SMB and SMB2 down in the corner, RSVD. Once you get to a specific document, though, and this is kind of where I'm going at with this, is we offer more than just PDFs. For a long time, the only formats that Microsoft offered were documents in HTML format, where you can browse them with your web browser, or PDFs. And there was historic reasons for all that, but through engagements with customers, we have been told that customers wanted Word documents. We've also added diff docs so that you can see the difference between this version and the last version, and I'm going to drill into that a little bit. We also provide what we call errata documents. It's actually more of a journal so that we can publish changes of the document to you quicker. And we also offer archives. And each of these I'm going to drill into a little bit more, but let's first talk about where you can find these. And this, the reason why I'm going into where, because usually you would think that the answer to where are the documents is all I have to do is do a quick web search, MS-SMB2. My life is easy. I click. I'm fine. What we learned at SNEA in Santa Clara this last year was we had several partners come to us with different problems, and we're starting to research those problems, and we're just scratching our heads going, boy, this sounds so familiar. I know that we've solved this before. And I start looking at my, email exchange. And I start finding out, yeah, we've solved this problem before. Which document are you looking at? And the answer invariably is, I'm looking in the current document. And we go, okay, show me where the current document is. They go and they do a web search, and their eye grabs the first PDF on the list. And it's human nature. It's totally understandable. But that PDF could be a year and a half old. And, in fact, in this case, in actually multiple cases, it was. And that's actually why we're talking about this section. And so I called it document, where art thou? It sounds obvious, but finding the current document is born, so that we're all working on the latest and greatest. Is more than just doing a web search and clicking on the top PDF, because the result could be stale. Instead, we have a landing page for every document. So each of those 600 documents or 400 documents, each has a landing page. You could call it a home page. You could call it a pivot page, whatever. It's a main page for that document. And not only does it point you to the current version, but it also gives you alternate formats, the doc, the Word doc, the diffs, the errata, the archive. Yes, sir?
So that, this brings up a very difficult question for me. If, let's say, why is it that you don't take the older version? You're going to replace, you come with a new version. Why don't you take the older version, give it a different URL, put it somewhere else, and then continue to use the same URL for the new version, so that the links that are on search engines and things like that continue to be toward whatever's the most recent version?
There's probably a couple answers to that, and I don't know all of them, but I would imagine there could be a problem with people getting 404 page not found, because maybe they have an old link that they've held on to.
That's my whole point. Yeah.
Right.
And this is particularly important if we're trying to reference things. Mm-hmm. So if I'm writing a piece of code and I say it's in this section of a document, I would like to be able to add the URL to that reference so that 5 years from now somebody can still find the reference and it'll be the most up-to-date version of that reference.
Yeah, we were finding a lot of disparity in search results, not URLs, but in search results, between the various search engines and degrees of staleness. And we're actually toying around with different ideas about how to, like, invalidate caches, of what search engines offer up what documents.
The URL is still valid. What was happening was that the redirect board for moving around. So that's the thing that they would change.
That's the part that
and the crawlers would crawl those. And they needed it because, you know, how search engines work, people click, prioritize things higher in the search list. So, and, you know, they were stale. So there was a request that came in, like, what do we do with those? Because it really is a level of indirection. Maybe those, because the actual storage should not be valued.
I think it's good to have the old, like you said, archives in the lifetime.
Yeah, he'll go into it.
Right? Yeah, I'll go into the archive as well. Also, when I discussed this at SNGA, I also showed them, various partners, the landing page. And they go, oh, wow, you have the Word document as well. We've been asking that for years. Actually, the Word document's been there for quite some time now. And we'll get into the other thing. So here is the here's a search that I did. It so happened. So the landing page is not necessarily always at the top. It's always in the top two or top three, usually the top two. In this case, it happens to be the top one. You can see how it's totally natural. I can totally understand someone seeing PDF there and going, that's what I want. In this particular example, it happens to be the current one. But when we were down in Santa Clara, invariably it was a year and a half old. And when you go to the landing page, this would be the landing page for SMB2. You can see on the left-hand side is the HTML version of the document. So you can go ahead and browse it using your web browser and just drill into each section. Off to the right-hand side is the link for the current PDF. You can see we have the published version and the published date. But we also offer the DocX, a Word document, which some people prefer. Actually, that's what I use because I like the navigation page in Windows because I can click on and do searches a lot better than I can with PDFs, you know, as a personal preference. And then we also have a lot of each of those. And then down below, we also have many of the previous versions. Now, not only do we have PDFs and docs, but we also have the archived errata and the archived diffs. These aren't offered for the much older versions. After a while, it's just the PDFs are offered. But we do keep the archives around. Also, since we're... Yes?
One question about the version. If the new version is not revised, the protocol that is already active in the field, right?
It
makes it clearer?
I'm sorry. It may. It shouldn't. And we'll get into it. They're in working with partners. So, in theory, there could be in engagements with partners. We may discover maybe something that's erroneous in the document, or something that's ambiguous in the document, or something that might be missing in the document. And of course, we'll go in and fix that. And in that context, it may be, you know, something new in the document would affect a previous, an existing implementation, if that makes sense. But it would only be kind of clarification or fixes to the document.
A lot of times it would come in
action.
Yeah. Well, for example, we got asked a question this week about leases in a certain scenario, and Brian's reading the document.
Yeah, I'll show you two tools that will help you key in on those, which I think is actually coming up next. While we're on this page, you can also subscribe to RSS feed so that you can get notified if there's an updated, new published document. And every landing page has the bottom option where you can download the zip file of all the PDFs of all 450 protocols. I don't know if we do that for Word. We might want to think about if we want to do that for Word documents too. I don't know. We have a separate zip, but I was just thinking out loud. This is an example of a diff doc. This is a diff doc for SME2. As you're reading through the document, you'll see a change bar on the left-hand side, and then any text that was removed will show it up as red and crossed out. Any text that is green has been text that has been added. And the diff docs will contain new protocol information or possibly corrections from previous versions. I would also suggest that it would be useful if you're a protocol implementer and you have something in the field, whenever we release a new version of the document, it may behoove you to go through the documents that you implemented and look at the not just the change log at the end, but you might kind of scroll through to see in the diff doc if there's changes, because there may be something that's relevant to you. Either something that we clarify, that maybe you took something that was ambivalent and you took one side versus another, or something that was just wrong. We said it was black and it should have been red. It gives you an opportunity to be proactive in maintaining your implementation. And we also have a RADA. So we actually published documents sometime, a couple weeks before a major release of the product. Right now with Windows, it's kind of on a six-month cadence, kind of a spring release and a fall release. There's nothing really holding us to those dates, but that happens to be the cadence right now. So a couple weeks before those releases, we'll do a full release of the document set. But between those big cadences, in that half year, as we're receiving input from partners or we're making corrections, we'll go ahead and once we check in that fix to the document, within a week or two, in most cases, we add it to this running journal that we call an errata document, and it will have exactly what's shown here. It will have the date the change was made, the section, and generally it's going to be a change, text has changed from or to, or we added text, or we removed text, and we'll show exactly how the text was, and it was changed to wherever the text now is. We don't redline it for you, but at least within fairly short time, you should be able to compare that against your implementation, because you're getting the benefit of other people reporting issues to us. And so to that customer, we fixed their issue because we're in communication with that customer. This is an opportunity for all the other partners to benefit from us improving the document based on the first engagement. And there's also an RSS feed available for errata on the document. So if you've implemented SMB2 and if you've implemented take one of them, RSVD, and those are things that are of interest to you, go ahead and subscribe to the RSS feed, and that will let you know, hey, something changed, maybe I should go take a look at it. The other place to get to the documents is from the Open Specifications Dev Center. This is actually a really good pivot point for the entire interoperability effort within Microsoft. It has tabs for all of our, we have several programs, patents. If patents are, if you need to look to see if there's a patent claim against a particular document, the documentation itself, which is the subject of this talk, news, PlugFest and events, which you're participating in now. We're trying to rebrand it to be Interoperability Labs, and we're working on the marketing on that. Test tools, we have the test team here, how to reach out to support, and some case studies. I always get to the landing, the Dev Center, by going to Microsoft.com/protocols, but really it will redirect you to this MSDN site. / open specifications. Right now, today, that's the go-to, the official, the supported depot of documents. That's actually going to change. We're in the midst of a migration, and I'm actually, this is a few days ahead of doing a large announcement, but this is an ideal venue because we have the right people here. This is going to change in the future. I believe this is going to be the URL. It's going to be docs.microsoft instead of msdn.microsoft. And it's going to be just open specs instead of open specifications. And a couple, I believe, in a very short period, it'll be available for you to start looking at. So you can actually go to the center and actually try to navigate the documents using the new location. The MSDN site will still be the site of reference. But in the next couple of months, I don't know what the end number of months, it will all migrate over to this new location. And if you went to the Dev Center, this is what you would see. You can see the various tabs, just as I described them, programs and patents and documentation and so forth. For our purposes today, we're going to go to the documentation. And if you did, you would get to this page, of which you would start navigating from protocols. Once you hit protocols, you'll get the option of Office or Windows or SQL or .NET. And within Windows, you'll see overview or reference or the specifications. And a lot of our subsystems, like file sharing, have overview documents. RDP has an overview document. And what the overview document does is it describes the entire system and then all of the documents within that family and how they relate to each other, which is really useful for someone getting into a new document family. And then for all the documents that you're interested in, SMB2, you would just go to technical documents and you'll see the whole 450. And then from there, you would get to the landing page. We also have a tab here for preview specifications. These are very short-lived. They're kind of proposed. They're under development. They're subject to change. They're either new protocols that aren't shipping yet, or updates to existing protocols, like new features. When we want to give a much larger runway to protocol implementers to kind of know what might be coming in whatever period of time, we'll put in the preview node so that so that you can start maybe implementing along with insider builds or whatever. You just have to keep in mind that it's all subject to change because it's a work in progress. Once it's actually launched in a released product, it disappears from the preview specifications, and it will just go into the normal library where it belongs. So you might only see a couple documents there, and they'll only be there for N weeks or N months or whatever. And then last week, we get out to help. How do you reach out to Microsoft, or if you have a question about the specification? Let's say you're issuing a certain call and you're not getting the result that you're expecting, or something is unclear, or you see something that's wrong and want to report it. We have two methods to reach us. One is by email, and the email DocHelp@Microsoft.com, and that's one-to-one between you and the engineer you're working with, and does, you know, stays in that channel. The other one is a open public MSDN forum, and some of our partners prefer using the forum. Most that we work with use the email. But at on the MSDN forum, it would be category open specifications. So if you go to MSDN, just search MSDN forums open specifications, it will take you straight to this site. We watch both of these entry points 7 days a week. We have a shift lead that's responsible every week to watch for these entry points. We'll acknowledge your question within 24 hours. And then what we do on the back end is we make them into support cases as if you called in for paid support, so that we can track them and so that nothing falls through the cracks. And I should have said that all of this support is free. As long as it's dealing with the specification itself. There may be issues that we won't answer, kind of like if it becomes like a product question, how do I install Active Directory? we might gently redirect you somewhere else. But generally, if you're a ProCrawl implementer, email DocHelp@Microsoft.com. The support team itself is a dedicated team of support engineers that are they're actually dedicated to this effort. They have extensive and deep debugging experience. We have knowledge in Windows and Office and SharePoint, and we're involved in both kernel and user mode. We have source code access to the entire product. We have incredible access to the product group. We work alongside many of the product group. You know, David's here and other people are here. And our goals are really two-tiered. One is to make sure that you're unblocked. So if you're having an issue, we want to make sure that you can move forward with the work that you have. And then we also want to drive improvements into the specification. So once we get done engaging with you, we'll take that knowledge. If it requires a change in the specification, make it more clear or whatever, we have a process to actually drive that. This is my help us help you. All of this sounds really obvious, but then when we're fielding lots of questions, so sometimes you know what your problem is and you think that we're mind readers and we can see into your problem and we know what exactly what you're working on. And when we're fielding questions across 450 documents, it's not entirely clear to us. So the clearer you can make the problem description, actually we don't have that much of a problem with that. Almost everyone's very clear about that. But things that would be even more helpful if you know the doc short name that you're working in. Yeah, right. Yeah, with you as SIFs.
I don't mess with that stuff.
And branch cache.
Branch cache, yay.
Wow. Yeah, I know. It's like, you went there?
You fixed some things in the docs, too.
Yeah, we did. If you know the section, that's helpful. If you could tell us what version you're looking at on the PDFs, is always down at the bottom of every page. Let us know how it's impacting your project. Is it blocking you, or is it something you're just giving us feedback on? It could be the specification said red. We know you mean black. I got it. We thought you would like to know. That's great. We know you're not blocked. We know the process. We'll verify what you say. We'll look in the source code. And then we'll file a bug against the doc. If is another type of issue where you're actually blocked and your implementation isn't moving forward, if you let us know that as well, that helps us understand the urgency. If you have multiple issues, oftentimes we'll get like 4 or 5 or 6 questions at once. That's fantastic. We love that. Just let us know which ones are the priority for you, so that if we're answering the low-hanging fruits and it's the last one that's the one that's really blocking you, if we knew that, we'd work on that first. And then if you have sample files, traces, notes that you think would help us, go ahead and include them in the first mail. That will help us actually dig into the problem quicker and maybe get a better first response to you. And then I was reminded we're trying to rebrand from PlugFest to maybe Interop Labs, but it's a term that is ingrained. Since you're here, you know that we either host or co-sponsor events all over the world. Many of them happen to be in Redmond, and the ones in Redmond are really beneficial because the product group is all right there for file sharing. We have one in Santa Clara hosted by SCNIA. We kind of help sponsor it. And then this event here, we've done a couple other events, but the Santa Clara, the SCNI events are our primary events for file sharing, and then we typically have a large event in Redmond in June. Opportunities for partners, you get to meet the support engineers, the test suite developers in particular. At the product group, you know, we have David here. Sometimes we have some of the other product group developers here. You get to test your protocol implementation against Microsoft-provided test suites. You work with support engineers and also the test team to debug issues. You get to test against other implementations. So if you see Apple or EMC or NetApp or Samba in the room and you want to tap them on the shoulder and say, why don't we test our implementation against yours, that's what these events are for. Is we actually foster that. And then learn about future plans. Typically, there are product group presentations talking about where is file sharing going, what's going to be, you know, what's going to be in SME 3. You know, X. And then with the we also provide the protocol test suites. They're typically synthetic endpoints that will test against your implementation. They're available on the GitHub site, correct? And if you have questions or questions or comments or need help with the test suites, they have an issues tab at their GitHub repository. In closing, don't always use the top listed PDF file. Try to use the landing page. Good pivot point for all of our stuff is Microsoft.com/protocols. You ask questions through DocHelp@Microsoft.com or through the forums. The test suite link is there. And that's about all I had. My bio is I've been at Microsoft since 2000 and in protocols for about 9 years. For street cred, I started on DEC PDP 11. Went to Apple II Plus. And the last one, Wang VS, I cite that because I spent 15 years reverse engineering their operating system and their protocols. So that gives me a lot of empathy for exactly what you guys are going through. And so I really want to make sure that you do. And you wouldn't believe it, but we had an adversarial relationship with Wang. It's like, I get it, and we're here to help you to interoperate with Microsoft and make our mutual users' lives better. So that's all I've got. Thank you. Any questions? All right. I have no idea where I landed on time.
Perfect.
Spot on time. All right. Super. Thank you.